Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Great job, choir, this morning. Always a pleasure to listen to y'all sing each and every week. Thank you, Miss Kate, for leading us again on the piano. All right, this morning we are going to be in a couple passages on your way to Matthew chapter 6, if you want to find 1 Kings 18. So 1 Kings 18 and Matthew 6 is where we'll be at this morning. I know he's not in here to hear this, but I have told him already. But I want to say thank you again to Pastor Logan for filling in last week as Holly and I were in Athens. And so we appreciated him filling in on the model prayer. So today we are going to take the opposite look. And so I'm not great at titling sermons, but today's main idea is the not model prayer. So last week, Pastor Logan looked at how we should be praying. This week, we're going to look at how we should not be praying. Kind of makes sense, right? So just to rehearse, I know Pastor Logan said this at the beginning of his sermon last week, but just to rehearse again, in case you weren't here, the model prayer that he talked about is in the midst of Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And so that sermon, it could be titled or could be kind of, if you're looking for a meta-narrative, a main idea of that entire sermon, it's kingdom ethics. And what I mean by that is, Jesus in that sermon tells us, this is how you live in my kingdom. This is how you treat others. This is how you treat your enemies. Here's some ethical ideas. Here's how you should live in day-to-day life in the kingdom. And so in the midst of that, he stops to talk about prayer. And so last week, Pastor Logan covered how we should pray. Today, we're going to cover how we should not pray. And we're going to look at the four verses that come just prior to the model prayer. Sound good? And then at the end, we're going to pick up a real-life Bible example of what the model of what the not model prayer looks like from 1 Kings 18. Okay, so let's jump right in. So we're going to read verse 5 and verse 6 to begin, because Jesus makes 2 points of how we shouldn't pray, and each of them, one point is 2 verses, second point is 2 verses. So here we go. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right, let's go back to the top, verse 5. All right, here we go. So notice at the beginning of verse 5, what does Jesus say? And when you pray, not if you pray, not maybe if you think about it. He says, when you pray. So what is the expectation that Jesus has? Remember, this is a sermon about how you live in the kingdom as a Jesus follower. So what is the expectation Jesus has on his followers? You best be praying. You will be praying. Not if, not maybe, not if the time's right. He says, when you pray. The expectation is that Jesus' followers pray. All right, so then he says, you must not pray like the hypocrites. Now that word hypocrite is a very, very interesting word. It's almost the English word is almost a transliteration of the Greek word hypocrite. All right, it's almost one for one. And originally the word hypocrite was neither good nor bad. It had no moral connotation at all, because it described actors in Greek plays. And so, for example, if you played a role in a Greek play, you might be called, as you were doing that role, you might be called a hypocrite. Why? Because the base definition of the word hypocrite is to pretend. So if you are playing someone or acting as if someone, you are what? Pretending to be someone else, right? The same thing happens today. If you go down to the two-act community theater plays, guess what? The actors and actresses are not playing themselves. They are playing someone else. So in the original term, you could call them a hypocrite. Now, you wouldn't, because now in our culture, because of how the word developed, it has a moral meaning to it. And that is what happens later on. By the time of the New Testament, by the time of Jesus, the word hypocrite moves from a morally neutral word relative to Greek plays into everyday society. And the meaning stayed the same. And so it would be used of someone who pretended to be someone or something that they weren't. Right? And so the what was a neutral word turned into a negative connotative word, right? Because if someone was called a hypocrite, it means they were one thing, but they were trying to act or be something else. Right? So Jesus says there are people who pray that are one way, but are trying to act another way. So the next logical question is, well, if we're not supposed to pray like those people who are pretenders, what do the pretenders pray like? Well, Jesus tells us. Now follow with me. He says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. Now, stop right there. Now, if there was a period there, I would be in trouble. And you say, why would I be in trouble? Because 2 weeks ago, when we started this series, I said that the Bible has very little to say on posture and setting of when you pray. Right? So if you stop right there, you may go, Pastor, I thought you said. But thankfully, there is a comma. Now, listen to me. I've said this a many time. I will keep saying this. This is a pro Bible reading tip that I'm about to share with you, okay? This is like pro-level Bible reading tip. You ready? It's real simple, though. When you're reading the New Testament, pretty much the Old and New Testament, but especially the New Testament. Whenever you're reading the New Testament and you see that little comma followed by the word that, or comma followed by the word so that, whatever comes after that is a statement of purpose. Say it again. Whenever you're reading the Bible at home, not if you're reading the Bible at home, when you're reading the Bible at home. See what I just did there? All right. Not if, but when. And you're reading the New Testament, and you see comma that, comma so that, you are about to read a statement of purpose. So what does that tell us? Jesus is about to tell us why the hypocrites stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. This is the purpose for which they are doing it. You ready? That they may be seen by others. So, what does it mean for the hypocrite to pray? He prays standing. Why would he stand? So everybody can see him. Why would he do it on the street corner? So everybody could see him. Why would he do it in the synagogue? Because all the religious people are at church on Sunday. Or for them, Saturday. Okay? So what is the problem with the hypocrite? Okay, listen, here it is. Here it is. The problem is not the location they're praying, the street corner or the synagogue. The problem is not in the actual just standing up either. The problem is the purpose for which they set out to do the praying. And what is the purpose? That they may be seen by others. Now, you may not realize this, but here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is getting us to the heart of what makes prayer Christian prayer. Okay? He's telling us right here. Because if hypocritical prayer is praying so that others might, so that your prayer might be seen by others, what is Christian prayer? It is prayer that is prayed to and for God alone. When you pray, your prayer should be directed at God alone, whether anyone is there or not. When we pray, we address our... What did Pastor Logan say last week? Model prayer. What's the first... You know it. Our Father. Thank you, Leanne. Gold star for you. Our Father. He didn't say, our brothers and sisters who might be listening to the prayer that I'm about to pray. He didn't say that, did he? Jesus said, our Father. Who is prayer directed to? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To God. When we pray, if we want to pray Christianly, we pray to and for God. So what these people are doing, what the hypocrites are doing, is they are pretend, remember the word pretender, they are pretending to be praying to God. But the real source or the real audience of their prayer is not God, it is the people who are listening. So they are pretending to be praying to God, but they're really praying so that all those listen might go, man, pat him on the back. What a great prayer. Boy, I wish I could pray like you. Man, you pray so well. And whether they say it or not, you know, Sister Susie might be over here in the corner going, boy, I wish I could pray like her. Oh, she's such a good prayer. I don't pray as good as her. That's what the hypocrite does. The hypocrite prays pretending to be praying to God, but is actually praying so that they will be heard by everyone else around them. That's when they start the prayer out. The prayer is starting out with the intention for the other people around them to go, what a great job you did. What a great job you did. That, Jesus says, is hypocritical prayer. So, what is the solution? The solution is in verse 6. Jesus says, if this is your problem in praying, here's the solution. When you, again, not if, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray. Now, why would Jesus tell the person who struggles with praying so that others might see them, tell them to do this? It's not a trick question. If you go into your room and shut the door, who's in there? You and God, and that's it. So there ain't nobody to impress. It's just you and Him. Now, does Jesus mean for us to understand that this is the only way that Christians should pray? No. Clearly, Jesus prays in large groups. Jesus goes by Himself and prays. Jesus prays with the disciples. Jesus prays amongst large groups, small groups, by Himself. So Jesus is not making a mandate that only Christian prayer is prayer that is prayed in the privacy of your home with the door shut in your closet. That's not what He's saying. What He is saying is, if you struggle with here's kind of the one-liner, if you want a one-liner for this point. If you struggle with making prayer a show about you, you need to pray privately in your room with the door shut. So, if we could conclude this point with one simple kind of phrase, here it is. The not model prayer is turning prayer into a show. The not model prayer is turning prayer into a show. Okay? All right, second point. Verses 7 through 8. Let's read those. And when, again, not if, but when. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. All right, let's go back to verse number 7. So here's the second thing that is a not model prayer, and it is, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Now, the key phrase there is heap up empty phrases, right? Which means like piling up, making a pile of empty phrases. What's the word empty phrase? The word empty phrases means babbling, stammering, or repetition of phrases. Right? So that helps a little, but not a lot. So one author, I thought, said it best, and so I want to share with you his definition or kind of interpretation of what Jesus means here. The pagans thought that by endless repetitions and many words, they would inform their little g gods as to their needs. And here's the key part, okay? Here's the key part. You ready? And weary them down into granting their requests. Did you hear that last part? Weary them down into granting their request. This is the attitude that Jesus says must not be a part of prayer of his followers. The inevitable next question is, why is this an inappropriate attitude in prayer? Well, let me follow with me. It is not necessarily that the repetition or repeating similar phrases, it is not repeating similar words that is the issue. It is not even repeating similar ideas that's the issue. And let me tell you why. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, so later in Matthew's book, Jesus prays almost identical prayers. You remember he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and these disciples just watch and pray. And then he takes Peter, James, and John a little bit further and says, hey, you know, my heart is very troubled. Watch and pray with me. And then he goes about a stone's throw away from them and falls. And we have Jesus's prayer that he prays. Well, if you go read those prayers, they are almost identical. In fact, in Mark's version of that story, in Mark 14:39, listen to what Mark says. He went away and prayed, saying the same words. If you read the Psalms, if you read through the Psalms, you will see that David and the sons of Korah and many others, they not only repeat themes within the same psalm, but sometimes they repeat verbatim, word for word, multiple times in the psalm. So Jesus' point here is not strictly that the repetition of the same words is the problem. The problem is when we think that the repeating of words and the saying of the same thing over again or praying long prayers will beat God down till he just says, oh, fine. Like, you know, how we as parents do, right? When our kids are like, mama, mama, daddy, 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 daddy. And you finally go, what? Y'all a little slow today. Did everybody sleep okay? Come on now. We have all done this. We have done it as kids, and our kids have done it to us. We have beat our parents down, or we have been beat down till we finally give in, just so they will shut up. Thank you, Miss Jackie. Is that not what we have all done it, and it has all been done to us. Okay? This is the idea that Jesus says should not be a part of Christian prayer. So the next logical question is, why? Why is this not a part of Christian prayer? Why is it a part of pagan prayer, but not a part of Christian prayer? And here's why. Number one, it shows a lack of understanding of God's character. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. To relegate God to a distracted, easily tiresome, borderline fickle being is to make a total mockery of the God we read about in the Bible. Right? What does Jesus say in verse 8? Ren, go ahead and throw back up verse 8. What does he say? He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So if he already knows what you need before you ask him, just repeating over and over and over again, thinking, boy, I'll just beat God down till he answers me, is to totally not understand who God is, right? Jesus, in fact, tells a parable about how God operates in prayer. It's called one of two names in the Gospels. It is the parable of the unjust judge or the persistent widow. And the entire point of that parable is this. God does not operate on a give in to your prayers so you will shut up attitude. That's literally the point of the prayer. God doesn't operate with a I'll just give them whatever they're asking for because I'm tired of hearing them ask for it. Jesus says that's not how God operates, right? In fact, at the end, he says, we can always pray and not lose heart. Why? Because God desires to hear and answer our prayers. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, God gives good gifts. He does not throw around blessings, cursing, or answers to prayer just so we'll be quiet. He is a God of purpose, thought, intent, and will. Thus, to pray, with empty phrases, thinking if I just keep on doing this, I can beat down the door of heaven and maybe, just maybe, God will give into my request, is not a model prayer attitude. All right, so we've gotten two. What are two not model prayer attitudes? Number one, thinking if I just do this enough, God will have to give me what I want. If I just beat down the door of heaven like I do with my parents, He'll give me whatever I want. That's number one. And what was the first one? Don't make prayer into a show. Okay? Jesus says that's two quick ways to have a not model prayer. Now, let's look at a real life example of these two things hundreds of years before Jesus said this in 1 Kings 18. So we're going to jump right into the story. We're only going to read a few verses, but let me tell you what's going on. So there's a guy by the name of Elijah. He's a prophet of God. He's a truth teller of God. He tells God's word to the people. And there's this king and queen who are desperately wicked. In fact, some of the most wicked duo, or probably the most wicked duo of king and queen in the nation of Israel, called Ahab and Jezebel. Dun, dun, dun. Right. And so God has, through Elijah, said there will be no rain. And there has been no rain. Drought. Terrible drought. And then God says, go speak to Ahab. And so he goes and speaks to Ahab and said, hey, this is the Travis paraphrase. We about to have a showdown. He says, gather all your people to me tomorrow on the mountain. And so they go to the mountain, Mount Carmel. And so they go to the mountain, and Ahab and Jezebel bring 450 prophets of Baal. Baal is a Canaanite pagan god shaped like a bull, right? Who's the god of rain and fertility and crops. Well, guess what? He ain't been doing his job because there's a drought, right? And so the next day, the text tells us that Elijah shows up. The 450 prophets of Baal show up, and then it says this little phrase, all Israel, meaning a lot of people are showing up to this event. And Elijah lays out, here's how the event's going to go. We're both going to make an altar, and we're going to sacrifice, we're going to put a bull on the altar, and we're going to pray, and whoever's God answers by fire and consumes the sacrifice, that's whose God is really in charge. And then Elijah, being the great, gracious, hospitable person he was, he says, y'all go first. And so here's when we pick up the story in 1 Kings 18. And we're going to just read a couple of verses. Verse 26, here we go. And they, that's the 450 prophets of Baal, took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning till noon. 3 or 4 hours, 5 or 6 hours, something like that. Saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they, now the word limped, when we think of limped, we think of like somebody on a cane or a crutch who's got like a messed up leg. The word should be probably a better translation is leaped. They jumped around as they said, O Baal, answer us. Around the altar that they had made. And at noon, I love this, Elijah mocked them saying, cry aloud. For he is a god, either he is musing or relieving himself. By the way, that means he's using the bathroom. Doing what you think he is doing. Or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. So listen to what they do next, verse 28. And they cried aloud, meaning they cried louder. And, what does it say next? Cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances, you know, that's like on a pole, like, until the blood, not trickled, gushed upon them. And as midday passed, they raved, again, louder, saying the same thing, O Baal, answer, until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Right? So what do we have here? We have a perfect example of the not model prayer. What are they doing? All of the things. Jumping around, repetition of empty words, thinking, well, if we just say it louder, that he'll finally answer us and give us what we want. Going so far to cut themselves, not till the blood dripped, till it gushed. Right? What happened? Nothing. Now, you can read the rest of the story, but the one true God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of Jesus. He answers in the prayer with a very simple prayer that Elijah prays, right? And so here's my point in showing you this. This is what the not model prayer looks like. Now you say, well, Pastor, like, I mean, come on now. I've never cut myself and jumped around and made a scene praying. No, that's true. But we've probably, you know, at times made prayer a show at some point, you know. You know, there's this great sketch, comedy sketch that I saw the other day about passive-aggressive prayers. Lord, sweet Audrey, I'm going to use you for an example. Lord, I just thank you for the day. Lord, I pray for Audrey and her bad attitude she's had today. She's not had a bad attitude today. Y'all ever done that? It's probably making prayer show because the person you want to hear him is probably standing right there next to you. Right? The sketch, they go back and forth, you know. Then the next guy prays and the next guy. And they're all like praying back, you know, like passive-aggressive prayers at each other. But like that's a form of making prayer into a show. You could have just said that part to yourself. You didn't have to pray it out loud so that person, or you know, I'm not gossiping, I'm sharing a prayer request in the midst of the prayer moment, so that then everybody else would go, what is going on in their family? That's making prayer into a show, right? You didn't have to say all that. What, does God not know that? Are you telling him something he doesn't know? No, he already knows it, right? Doing all this thing, thinking we can beat, if I just pray one more time, God will have to move. No, God wants to give you good things. He wants every good and perfect gift, right? You're not going to weary God down in his timing, in his will. He will answer you yes, no, or wait. Right? So, what is the application for us today? Well, prayer should never be done for the praise and applause of others. Instead, we should always direct our prayers to God alone. Now, if you pray and your heart attitude is, God, I am praying to you, and others happen to be in the room and they happen to listen to you and they happen to agree with what you're praying, so be it. Right? I'm not in charge of your response. You are. So in this setting, if I pray and you agree and say amen or do whatever else, that's between you and the Lord. So long as my heart is not to make you do that or to try to get that out of you. You got me? If you want to respond and agree to somebody who's praying, that's fine. But my heart has to be, this is directed to God and to God alone. Second thing of application. Prayer should never be thought of as a device to twist God's arm. We've talked about that. To begrudgingly answer. Instead, prayer should be viewed as an avenue for us to connect and commune with God on a personal. What's our definition of prayer? Talking to God. Personal spiritual communication with God. And so anytime we go to God in prayer, that should be our view. This is a moment for me to commune, to connect with God on a personal level. If somebody else hears, great. If they don't, that's fine too. Because I'm praying to him and for him alone. All right? So this week, what's your goal? Don't be a not model prayer. Be a model prayer this week.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.